reading today is from Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 35. Luke 2, verse 22. Jesus is presented in the temple. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for what you revealed to Simeon and then to us, that you came to seek and save us. Like Simeon, we give you praise for your wonderful revelation of yourself. Like Simeon too, we come with expectation to meet with you, and we prepare our hearts now to recognize you when you draw near to us. We thank you for the message you have given to David for us today, and we pray that it may come to us with living power. Please help him to deliver what you have for us. Help us then to respond in trust and obedience to what we hear. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jackie, for your prayers, and welcome everyone, those here in person and those watching online. And just before I kind of start with my main message, I want to pray too for the church in these months ahead. Many of you will know that I'm going on sabbatical in just over a week's time, as I shared at the last church members meeting. But I wanted to just say to the whole kind of church gathered in this setting, that I'll be praying for you so much during the time. I'm really looking forward to getting time to really press into abiding with the Lord. It'll be just starting just over a week, and I'll be back in mid-March. And many of you will know that it's actually a kind of delayed sabbatical. I was hoping to get some time about a year and a half ago that didn't work out. Many of you can guess the reasons for that with all that we've been through in the last couple of years. But I I took some time 9 years ago and went on sabbatical to Ethiopia, and that was such a huge, huge blessing for me as I just had opportunity to reflect and come back again, really with a heart for mission in this nation. And this time it will be quite different. We're holding all our plans in open hands. We're planning to be more UK-based because of all that we're going through. But I want to ask for your prayers, but I also want to say I'm praying for you through this time. I know that one of the things that you'll be looking at as a church is this whole theme of abiding in Christ. One of the things I'll be doing is seeking to really press in to abiding in him. And I know I leave you in great hands. I know that Tim will be leading things here, and he's got a great team around of elders and deacons. I know you're just a wonderful church, but above all, I know you're in God's hands. And I'm so thankful that that's what gives us confidence, isn't it? To trust one another into God's hands. So let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, you are the wonderful God, the one it's all about, as we've been praising you. And these kind of times remind us to keep looking to you. And I want to pray for an amazing outpouring of your blessing upon Tim in this season, Lord, that you would just continue to anoint him, encourage him, bless him. Lord, work through him mightily on all the different kind of leaders in the life of the church, all the different communities. And Lord, for the whole church, pour out your spirit, I pray. Lord, bless them, encourage them. Help us to abide in you in this season. And may, Lord, we have the joy of seeing much fruit come from that for you. And Lord, even now, I pray our faith and our trust and our delight in you, Jesus, would grow as we look into this wonderful song of Simeon's. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 13 days till Christmas. That's cool, isn't it? I wonder whether as we kind of have this season of waiting and anticipating, you notice this lovely little line in the kind of lead up to the Song of Simeon in verse 25, where it said this. It says in verse 25 that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. You might be thinking, well, what's all that about? And I love the way the Message translation puts it. It says this: Simeon was a good man who lived in prayerful expectation of help for Israel. That great little phrase, prayerful expectation of help for Israel. So I wonder in these days, what are you expecting? And I wonder what help you think is needed. You know, one of the striking things that's been so much in the news this week and in recent weeks is this sense and expectation, and I think quite likely expectation, that we'll see an increase in COVID cases. And, with that has been many times in the news, really, this sense that kind of Christmas is going to need some help. You know, in fact, the newspapers, the government have all been talking regularly about this little phrase, saving Christmas. Here are a few different headlines. This was about a month ago: Operation Save Christmas, retailers desperate dash to meet demand. I think that was in The Guardian. This one was actually in a paper called the online paper, Huffington Post. Boris battles to save Christmas 2, the sequel that no one wanted. And then this was actually the morning I was preparing this week. This came out in the Mirror. PM may trigger Plan B in days, ordering Brits to work from home to save Christmas. And of course, later that day, Boris did announce we're in Plan B. And I wonder, what do you think? Does Christmas need saving? I ask it because actually this is not just something we see in the news. I don't know if you enjoy watching Christmas films at this time of year. I love Christmas films. We have a family kind of, once the tree gets up, Christmas films start coming out. You know, and there's a new Netflix film, Christmas Chronicles 1 and 2. And it's all about the kids helping Santa save Christmas. You know, I love Elf. The sled's not working, Santa's struggling, and they need to get people's Christmas spirit up so that they can help the sled take off. And there's that great scene where it kind of whoosh goes off like that. And You know, and then you've got Die Hard, Christmas film. You know, even Bruce Willis has to come and save Christmas. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think we can get sucked into this. I know I can. You know, we want kind of Christmas to be a kind of perfect time of year. We kind of long for kind of Christmas to be protected, to be just as we want it. And so we work and try and seek to kind of get caught up in saving Christmas for our family, our friends, the church, for the community. We want everything to be perfect for Christmas. So I ask again, does Christmas need saving? What do you think? I wonder what Simeon would have thought. You know, one of the things I love is this kind of picture of this kind of young couple coming and connecting. And I love the drama, Anthony and Max Minucci, it was beautiful. But connecting with this older, wise man in the temple. You know, one of the joys we have as a church family is people of different generations and the chance to lean and learn from one another. And, you know, our vision as a church is every generation raising the next generation. And so that kind of picture of the older sort of people, those with wisdom and experience speaking into the lives of the young is just a beautiful picture for us. And if there was anyone who really got Advent, it was Simeon. You know, Simeon was waiting and waiting and waiting, longing, not for just 24 days while he's kind of going through the Advent calendar, but for years and years and years for that first Christmas. And so when he hears this small kind of 8-day-old baby brought into the temple by his young parents, he's drawn to them. The scriptures kind of say he was moved by the Holy Spirit, literally propelled towards them. And I love this picture of him taking baby Jesus in his arms. Do you see that in verse 28? Simeon took him in his arms and praised the Lord in this song. And that was like such a cool rendition, Anthony, of Simeon's song. But some folks, you might not realize that churches across the world, many of them sing Simeon's song almost every week. Often even in Latin, it's called the Nunc Dimittis, and it's like this amazing song of praise. So I wonder, Simeon, who kind of sung one of those early carols, I wonder what Simeon would say to us as we wrestle with this question of do we need to save Christmas? And I think we'd probably come to him and just say, look, Simeon, I don't know what it was like for you then, but look, in our situation, we just need to let you know there's some real kind of sort of things we see that are kind of threatening Christmas. I don't know if you notice this. These are some things that kind of can get stirred in my heart. You know, I think, and I'm sure some of us will feel like this, that, you know, Christmas needs saving from the kind of secular pressure of society. So that kind of, it drops Christmas and it becomes Xmas or season's greetings. And you go to, you know, your kids' Christmas play. And I remember doing this many times. And I'm thinking, penguins, snowflakes, Santa. Even one time it was kind of Men in Black. And I'm thinking, where is Christ? And it's like they're scared. They're scared of mentioning him at Christmas. Well, maybe you think, well, David, that's one issue. But at the moment, this Christmas, Christmas needs saving from the virus, this unseen Omicron variant. And let's do what we can to try and save Christmas, to be able to protect the things we know and love, the chance to meet with family and friends, the things that we long to do, the kind of traditional things. And I kind of get myself set. I'm thinking, Lord, please, may we still be able to go ahead with the plans we've got in place. Maybe that's what's in your heart and mind this Christmas. Maybe you feel Christmas needs saving from the kind of killjoys, those people who actually kind of think, oh, it's too much tinsel and singing and songs and festivity, you know, and they're kind of like, they just say, let us kind of moan about the weather or something like that. And actually you feel, no, there's something here that's really important that needs saving at this time of year. But again, I wonder what Simeon would say. So look with me at his song. We're going to just focus on his song, really, in this time. And really, I've just got one main point I want us to see from this song. You see, Simeon's song focuses on this amazing thing that his eyes have seen. In verse 30, he says this, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." It's a song celebrating what God has done, God's salvation that Simeon has now seen with his own eyes. So I think if Simeon were here, he would respond firmly and gently to you and I, if we asked him, does Christmas need saving? And I think he would say, look, folks, Christmas doesn't need saving. You and I need saving. Christmas is about God saving us. So this is my main point for us this morning. We don't need to save Christmas. Christmas saves us. It's about God's salvation plan. It's not about what you and I do to save things. It's about what God has done to save us. You know, I think this is really needs kind of driving home in my life, because I kind of quite like the idea of being a bit like, you know, Bruce Willis, or, you know, the kids trying to save the, you know, the sort of Santa and Christmas. You know, we like the idea of being the rescuer, don't we? I mean, look, I want to go and fix things and help people. And, you know, and so the idea that we're the ones needing rescue, well, that's kind of something that it's harder sometimes to really acknowledge. And particularly how much we need rescue. You know, Simeon got this. He got it deeply. Do you remember that verse 25? He was living in prayerful expectation of help. He was waiting for God to work. He knew he needed help. He knew Israel needed help. Why did they need help? Because they disobeyed God and they were under God's judgment. They were facing the consequences of their wickedness and evil and injustice. And that wasn't just a problem back then. It's a problem now. We see it all over the news in all kinds of different ways. I don't know if you picked up this week. There's just some horrendous things happening in our world. In China, it was just announced this week that a tribunal in the UK recognized that China's committed genocide against the Uyghur people. The Uyghur tribunal cited both control sterilization measures allegedly carried out by the state against the Uyghurs as the primary reason for reaching its conclusions on Thursday this week. This is happening this week. And yet it's so easy, isn't it? You look out there and think, oh, you know, that is so wrong. And yet some, for the people involved, they might not even realize how wrong it is. Because that can happen to us, can't it, as well? We think in our own lives, well, we can think, oh, well, you know, it, sort of things we do, they're not that bad, not like that. You know, I was really struck this week when one of Number 10's advisors had a film from last Christmas leaked about a sort of press conference and joking about a Christmas party. I think probably for, at that moment, at that time, even for months afterwards, the people involved in that really didn't think they'd done anything wrong. A bit like you and I, when we go about life, saying, oh, it wasn't that bad. It's not that serious. But then a video goes online and goes viral. And I was so moved as I watched her give her resignation in tears of just recognition. I'm so sorry, she said. And I thought, you know what, that could have been any of us. It could have been any of the media, any of the other politicians. A video of our worst moment going viral. Think about it. Wow, we all need saving. We all need saving so much more than we recognize. We all need God's grace. You know, we can't save Christmas because we bring our brokenness, our mess, our propensity to mess things up. But God has done this wonderful thing. And so Simeon picks this baby up, this one, and he starts singing, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised," because this God who's sovereign, who works out his plans, had promised that he would send a savior, and he has. He's faithful to his promises. Look, verse 29, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised." And then verse 31, this salvation which you have prepared. God's been preparing something wonderful. He's preparing something in a particular time and place there in Bethlehem, and then this child kind of brought to Jerusalem in that time, but prepared for all people everywhere. I love verse 30 to 32 in the New Living Translation. Says this: I have seen the Savior you have given to all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. This has kind of gone public. This is for all to see what God has done. And Simeon says, he picks up this baby and he says, look, Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, verse 29, now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon's like, you know what? The Romans are still here. There's still wickedness in the land. We're still in a big mess, but I am content. I am peaceful because this baby Jesus has come. The Savior's here. So we're going to be well. God's got it. The Savior's come. It's all going to be well. You know, there's a connection with the peace we feel and how we see Jesus. And whether we see him as the Savior, the gift of salvation that God's given. You see, when I'm trying to save Christmas, my peace rapidly disappears, particularly at this time of year with all the things going on. But when I remember that Christmas is about Jesus saving me, wow, peace comes. Peace floods into my soul. So I want to ask you, where are you trying to be the Savior? Maybe for your family, maybe your elderly relatives, maybe the grandkids. Where are you trying to be the Savior? Maybe it's at work, just trying to keep everything going, particularly with the different pressures on business at this time of year. Maybe it's in ministry. I mean, this is a busy season in ministry. So much opportunity, so much trying to keep going. And it's understandable, isn't it, that we want to help things around because there's so much brokenness. We don't have to look far to see brokenness. And I find at this time of year, in fact, often I can think this brokenness needs fixing, and I'm thinking about the brokenness and how much need there is. And then I find, look, I'm just overwhelming the need. And I look and I think, well, there's this great beauty, this wonderful kind of sunset, or this just this chance to kind of escape and listen to music, or just to have time. And I kind of blot out the brokenness to try and focus on the beauty. And then I think, no, I really should be thinking about the brokenness. So I go back and I kind of yo-yo sometimes between the two. But yet there's something about Jesus which enables me to really embrace and help and think about the brokenness and the beauty at the same time and do all of that with a peace. How? Why? Well, because Jesus is the one who comes to save and take our deepest brokenness and turn it into beauty. Amen? He's the one who can take our despair, our deepest despairs, and turn it into hope. He can turn tears to joy, darkness to light. This is the Savior of the world. And so as I focus on him, I come with peace and I can see both beauty and brokenness. And the brokenness doesn't mar out the beauty, but the beauty of Jesus gives me hope. So how does he do that turnaround? Well, it's this salvation gift that Simeon is singing about. It's the thing that he goes on to say to Mary. Look, Mary, there's going to be some pain because a sword will pierce your heart. What's he referring to? He's referring to the cross. He's referring to this wonderful place where Jesus died for you and I. He died that we might live. The cross where Mary's baby son, grown up, the perfect one who never sinned, he was there crucified in front of her, dying for my sin and for yours, for those things that we hope never get out on a viral video. He took them on himself, all of it. He became sin for us so that we could have his righteousness, be at peace with God, be at peace wherever you are, whatever you're going through. This is the amazing good news of the Christmas message. It's the amazing good news of the Christian message, that Jesus alone is the Savior. That there's no other name under heaven by which you can be saved. Only Jesus. It's the angel who came to Joseph and said, you must call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. This is how God has saved us, through Christ. And you know, we're not saved by, you know, doing Christmas brilliantly. We're not saved by having Christmas spirit. We're not saved by anything you and I might do. We are saved by Jesus. He is the Savior. He is my Savior. He has come, and this gift of salvation is like, you know, when you come into this used to happen for me often at Christmas time, is we'd do the kind of service here, and then I'd go up to my mother-in-law's, Laura's family, and they'd all been kind of working. We'd drive up to London often, and there'd just be this huge kind of Christmas meal spread out. I didn't do anything for it. They'd prepared it. And my part was just enjoy it. I could see it. I could, okay, wow, look at this. Come on, kids. And, you know, that's Christmas is this amazing gift of salvation spread out for us to enjoy, to celebrate, to look at, to go wow at, to receive. And it's spread out not just for us, but for any in Brighton and Hove. It's like, come on, guys, look what's happened. We don't need to save Christmas. Christmas saves us. Just come and enjoy it. Come and feast. Come and sing. Sing of what Jesus has done. You know, I remember hearing at a conference this man speak, and he was so happy, so full of joy, so full of peace. It just kind of poured out of him. And he actually had huge responsibility in a different nation where there are many Christians, but also huge problems. He was responsible for the Christians of a certain denomination in that nation. And He was being interviewed, and someone asked him, you know, how, with all that responsibility, all the needs in your nation, how are you so full of kind of joy? And he replied like this, I've never forgotten it. He said, I'm not the savior of the world. He has already come. He saved me. I am not trying to save the savior. I take Jesus seriously, and I take myself and others lightly. This is part of my profession of faith, he said, of being free in the spirit, the capacity to smile and laugh at ourselves and our mistakes and our incapacities. And I heard him and I thought, this guy has joy and peace because his eyes, like Simeon's, have seen the salvation of God in Christ. And he can have joy and peace. So brothers and sisters, whether you know this and have known it and just need to remember it, or whether you've in danger this Christmas of kind of missing it for everything else, and actually you need to for the first time come and just say, Jesus, I see in you my salvation. Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage us today to come to Jesus, to see with Simeon. To see with Simeon with eyes of faith that Jesus is God's salvation, and to then sing with Simeon of this amazing gift of God, salvation for us. Why did God save us? Why did God save us? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Thank you, God, for loving us and saving us in Christ. Should we bow our heads? And just in this moment, as the band come back up, may just need to come and acknowledge afresh that we are the ones needing saving. And then let's look at Jesus. You may just want to echo this prayer with me. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Echo that in your heart. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that you are the Savior of the world. I believe in you. Lord, fill me now with your spirit. your joy and peace this Christmas that would overflow in pointing others to this amazing work that you've done. Thank you, Jesus, in your wonderful name. Amen.